Let's jump into the word this morning. You know, the impressions is, I want to kind of come into it from the approach of a marketing kind of world. And so an impression in marketing would be what they call a view through. So an impression would, did y'all know I worked at Pepsi for a little bit? Yeah, everybody's like, we're over your Pepsi stories. But I didn't sit in many marketing meetings, but I sat in a few marketing meetings. And we're talking just at this local level, between Pensacola and Mobile, millions and millions and millions of dollars was spent yearly on marketing. Billboards, advertisements, geo advertisements. So that's basically an electronic advertisement that only hits a certain geographical location. Signs, banners, you name it. We poured a lot of money into jumping and building our impression numbers. And so an impression would be at Pepsi, anytime you've seen that Pepsi globe, anytime. So if you see it on a billboard, and then you see it on your phone, and then you drove by the Circle K, and there was a banner out front, and then you would walk into a store, and there's Pepsi pictures in the front, and we pay money for that. We pay money to put it, you know, we would give people brand new coolers as long as we could have our Pepsi wrap on it. And we believe that the more somebody's seen something, the more likely they were to purchase our product. And so an impression would be a message that's sent that the messenger is hoping you'll take an action on the other side of it. And the last statistic that I came across, which is wild, that the average American sees at minimum 5,000 impressions a day from marketers. The high end is 10,000 per day. 10,000. So it's a little scary, honestly. A couple years ago, I got rid of all of my Alexas out of my house. We had like one in the kitchen, and we had one in the living room, and we had one in our bed. You know, it's like I like playing music, Alexa, what's the weather going to be like today? You know, and it's like, it just makes it convenient until, I'm getting ready. I'm talking to my wife about different things, and then I pull up my phone, and I'm getting an ad for it. I'm like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Because they're listening. And then you probably know that, right? Your phone, you talk about campfires or roasted marshmallows, and then you get on your Facebook, and there's a marshmallow advertisement or somebody trying to sell you one of those little roasting sticks. Or like, it's wild, but it's a message, and the point is that you'll take an action when you see it. And what I love about the Bible and the God that we serve is he has been speaking to his people. If there's a common denominator from Genesis to Revelation, is that God speaks to his people. Impressions. And it may not just be an audible voice. When I speak, we immediately think of voice, but think about all the impressions that you might see today when you leave here from marketers. If you go to the beach, you're going to see a plane pulling a flag behind it for a surf shop or a restaurant it's all over the place. And so if we are that good, if Pepsi is that good, if Apple is that good, you know what I mean, at getting your attention to buy their products, how much more the God of the universe? And when we look at the common thread that God has spoken in many ways and in many places throughout the Bible, for Moses, it was a burning bush. For Pharaoh, who was not a Christian, it was signs and wonders, the plagues, all that happened in the great Exodus. The Magi were astronomers following the stars and ended up at a stable. King Belshazzar, have you heard of King Belshazzar? There was a time in his life where he, again, not a Christian, not a Jew. He was doing his own thing, and God literally wrote on the wall to speak to him. And my favorite is Balaam, where God speaks to him through a donkey, okay? A donkey, all right? So that's just a few. There's so different. I mean, there's so many. Our theme verse is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God spoke to our ancestors at many times and in various ways. God spoke to our ancestors at many times in various ways. It was hard for me to boil down just five. We're going to be looking, you know, it was hard for me to get down to just a few because God has spoken so many ways and so many different avenues throughout the Bible. But next week, we're going to look at the first week, and the most important way that God speaks is through Scripture. It's through the Bible. Timothy tells us this, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And there's not an impression from God that is going to contradict the Word of God, ever. If somebody says to me, God said this, and it contradicts this word, I know that that was not God. Okay, yeah, this is the Rosetta Stone of God speaking and impressions. This is it. And so now the avenues and the ways that God communicates and the way that he does that, but the message will always line up with this book right here. And we'll talk about that next week. The second way I think that God speaks to us is through desires. That the desires that we have to do things in our lives. The Bible talks about God giving us the desires of our heart. And so, right, you know, and I tell that to teenagers or folks in high school that are trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? Well, don't base it off of how much money you're going to make. Do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's the way that God's designed us. He's put these desires in us and passions and purpose. And when we pursue that, in essence, we're pursuing impressions from God. Because we didn't put them there, right? You know, God wired us, every person unique. And you've got a purpose. You've got a gift that he's put in you and these desires. And these desires oftentimes lead to him. Something for us to do, something for us to accomplish while we're here. And so these desires are ways that God speaks to us. Another way is through people. God has spoken through people if there is a common thread, it was the prophets in the Old Testament, the priests in the Torah. And then so even in today, we believe that God speaks through people. God is a prophetic God. He can speak through other people. I read a lot of what I call the ancients, men and women that studied the Bible hundreds of years ago, and God is still speaking through those people. It's amazing that God speaks through people. He'll speak through your family. He'll speak through, that's why I love these small groups and upper room small groups, is because we really see God speaking through each other in these small groups. And then lastly, I'm going to just call it promptings, but it's an inner knowing, if that makes sense. I can't say that I've heard the audible voice of God in my life. It's usually this inner voice, right? Like you just know, or we call it instinct, intuition, but you just know. I'll never forget in high school, before I was a Christian, I was going to this house with friends, and I'll never forget getting, like, I walked in this one time, and it was a house I shouldn't have been at with people I shouldn't have been hanging out with, and I knew. I got this feeling just driving over there, like I knew I don't need to be doing this. And I think we all have that in our life. Specifically, I think women really have it. They just got this sixth sense where they could just pick up on somebody's vibe and like, I don't know about that, or I don't think we should do that, you know. And so, Isaiah, talking about prompting, says it like this: whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears, not your physical ear, your inner ear, will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. There's people in our church that have done very well with investments, and that's how they do it. They go to a house, and they ask the Lord, is this the one I should get? They look at a stock. They ask the Lord, is this the one I should get? I don't make a big decision without doing that. I mean, and by a big decision, sometimes that's where we're going to eat. But no, I'm just kidding. I'll give you a trick on that. You know, because sometimes we can't agree. I'm like, babe, we're going to your favorite place. Guess, and then I just let her say what it is. That's where we're going. But we pray first. And we're given this promise that whatever you do Monday through Friday, wherever you work, or if you're working on people, that God is with you and wants to be involved in what you're doing. And he's giving these impressions and these guidances. He's leading us. And I want to look at verse 2. So our theme verse is verse 1 of Hebrews. God has spoken in many ways all throughout history. But look at what the writer says. He says, but in these last days, which is what we're living in, He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Powerful. One of the things that I left off of this list that maybe we'll get to at another time is, you know, God speaks through nature. And we just finished up Holy Week, right? Good Friday. Does everybody remember what happened on Silent Saturday when Jesus went to the cross, said it is finished? The veil ripped from top to bottom. People came out of their graves. People resurrected. Prophets of old were going around. And then the sun, remember that? Went dark. And so I believe God speaks through nature still. And then tomorrow there's this, I don't know, you know, there's something happening tomorrow. Have y'all heard about that? Yeah, you have? Okay. I took the day off. I got my glasses. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. Actually, I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. I think it's really cool. I came across this article in 1984, May 30th, similar eclipse that's happening tomorrow. There was this group of chimpanzees at the Emory University. It was Primate Research Center. And during the eclipse, they all climbed to the very top of this little sanctuary place for chimpanzees. And they had this climbing gym where they would kind of swing around. They all went to the very top and just stared at the sun until it was over. Yeah. Isn't that wild? So I'm going to go to the zoo, I think, tomorrow. And just if you got a free time, I'll be there. Just anyways, so the chimpanzees got the sign, right? but I don't know. You know, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things. These happen all the time. But I have to believe that God speaks through many ways. Many ways. But the most important way, according to the writers of Hebrew, is his Son. We had Old Testament prophets. We had Old Testament priests. We had all these men and women that God would use. And then we have this ultimate, you know, the Son of God who came and he opened up a door to everyone. Because in the Old Testament, it was a little different. I don't think God just clearly spoke to everyone. In the Torah and, you know, the original design of the temple, you had a high priest who went in one time a year. And he would bring in, and he would sprinkle the blood at the holy place, and they would literally tie a rope to his leg, because some of them wouldn't make it back. The presence of God was so strong they would die in the Holy of Holies. They'd pull them out. They put bells around their robes so they could hear him walking to make sure they were still alive. But one person, one time a year, went in and talked with God. And when that veil was ripped, right last week. That veil is what separated all of humanity from God for thousands of years. Only one person got to go behind it once a year. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," and that veil ripped and the sun went dark, there was a clear sign given to all the world that there's no longer a separation. And Jesus says this in Revelation 3, verse 20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So he's talking about a conversation that can happen. Impressions. This is a relationship. William Holman Hunt in 1851 began this painting called The Light of the World. It's known as one of the greatest Christian paintings in the world. It's in Oxford right now. The original one's hanging in Oxford. But I want you to look at this painting for a moment. And I'm going to quote William, because when he said that God spoke to him about this painting, he says, this is his words, "It was more than a painting. It was a divine command." And so he painted this based off of that verse I just read you. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." It took him 3 years to get this painting finished. And there's a lot going on in this painting. Right, there's the lamp, there's a light around the head of Jesus, and he's knocking on this door, but I want you to see the door. It looks like it hasn't been opened in a while. Right? There's grass, there's vines growing over this door. But what I really loved about this painting when I looked at it, and I haven't seen it in person, there's no door handle on the outside. You see that? And I think when Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, he's saying that this is the door that only can be opened from the inside. And most people don't hear from God, and most people don't see God or receive impressions from God simply because they don't look. They don't believe he's still speaking. I mean, I've been pastoring for a little while now. And I go through seasons of my life where I feel like I don't know if I'm hearing from God anymore, right? I think that's one of the enemy's greatest tactics, is to get us solely depending on our own strength and our own wisdom and our own knowledge, and to try to convince us that we're on our own and that God is not speaking, and that if we want to get this done, we got to do it ourselves, and we're kind of on this island by ourselves. And one of the greatest lies I think the enemy has convinced the church of is that God is not speaking anymore. And what a terrible thing to do to people, to tell them that they can have a relationship with God and then turn around and say, but he doesn't speak. It's very dry. It's very quiet. But I think the first step in receiving these impressions and really, really hearing from God is believing in our heart of hearts that he can speak to us and he wants to speak to us. And I'm going to call it opening the door of possibility. Do I believe that God is speaking in 2024? Do I believe that God really wants to speak through all these different ways, through his word, through his people? Like, do I believe that God is guiding my life and leading my life, or am I just left up to try to figure it out on my own? And I want you to leave here encouraged, knowing that God is speaking, and he's speaking all the time. That he wants to send you a message more than Pepsi does. He wants to send you a message more than Apple does with their billions of dollars just chilling. You know, like they got so much money. It's crazy. They can spend all this money on marketing. Like, God is more concerned about your soul than they are about you getting the next iPhone. And he doesn't want you to feel like you're floating around without a word from him or a message. Like, I really believe God wants to speak to his people. And it's, I'm going to say, the most important thing in our lives right now. As believers, why do we come to church? Why? I mean, we want to learn from the word. We worship. It's a time of celebration, but we center our lives around hearing from God. And my prayer is not so much that you leave here and hear from me, but when you come to church, you hear from God. And I'm noticing now that happens in the parking lot sometimes through a conversation with somebody who is setting out signs. Or that happens before you come into the front door. Or that happens in children's church. Or maybe it happens in here, I hope. Yeah, but it's happening all the time. And the biggest miracle for me when I share a message is when I get to hear people's response at the end, and they're leaving and they're like, you said this and it was so powerful. And I'm thinking, did I say that? You know, like, I don't know if I said that, you know. And then I think the anointing, right? We believe in the anointing. We believe in the miracle power of the Holy Spirit. And it happens between this mic and your ears. And on the day of Pentecost, this big miracle that happened, everybody heard their language, but who knows what they were really speaking? The miracle could have been in the translation between their mouth and their ears. Because God wants to speak to you way more than I do. And he's speaking. And so we open the door. I want you to see these verses. 27 times this is mentioned in the New Testament, mostly by Jesus. Matthew 11, whoever has ears, let him hear. 3 times in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, twice in the Gospel of Luke. In the book of Revelation, almost 10 times, Jesus says this, whoever has ears, let him hear. I don't think he's talking about our physical ears. I don't think he's talking about going and getting a hearing check. Your hearing checked. I think he's talking about what's called, like, I want to call it our inner ear. It came from this verse here in the book of Psalms. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Psalm 40, verse 6. But my ears you have opened. Burn offerings, he's like, you can keep your money. Send offerings, you can keep your sacrifices. You don't want that. The psalmist is saying what God really, really wants is our attention. Your inner ear. It's hearing without hearing. Most of communication is body language. It's not what you're saying. And what I believe God wants us to do is to tune that inner ear. Because when we get used to hearing God, especially say like you're in here, you're like, I think this kid is crazy. Hearing voices from God, okay, I'm going to the next church. But I want you to just before you leave, think about this for a moment. Think about how many times you receive messages from people and nothing's said. You could just pick up on their, or you knew something was off, or you knew they were mad at you, and you could tell they didn't say a word to you. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. You just picked up the energy in the room. And so we got to think that God is not stuck in our four dimensions, three dimensions, whatever. Like, he's not stuck in a box. And he can speak through ways that maybe we haven't been attuned to yet. And I think nature does this. I think animals do this really well. I talked about the chimps, right? I had a reason for that. Hurricane Ivan, or a 100-year storm in this area. There's a David Barti, a guy, he still lives on the beach. He's like a staple mark on Pensacola Beach. Lived out there a long time. And I was talking to him about that storm. And, you know, at first it wasn't supposed to come here. And so, you know, those cone of uncertainty, it's like windshield wipers. They just move it back and forth. Like there's, you know what I'm talking about? The cones of uncertainty with hurricanes. So Ivan wasn't supposed to come here. And he told me that 3 days before they moved the cone, before we were even supposed to get a storm, he said his whole attic was full of ants. And he says he remembers walking, if you go, like you walk outside, you might see a bald eagle this morning. Like I see them all the time here. They're everywhere. There's birds, like we live in like a national park. He said 3 days before Hurricane Ivan, not a bird in sight. So what's going on there? I don't know. So maybe when God says, he that has an ear, let him hear, it's not just this ear right here. It's picking up on what God is saying, and it may be through this inner knowing. I mean, even that word, he that has an ear, let him hear, that it's not, he's not talking about a physical ear, it's this inner ear. It's discerning the voice of God. What is he saying? It's moves beyond maybe the senses that we use every day. It's picking up on things that maybe we're just not taking notice of sometimes. And I think to receive an impression from God, what I want to do is I want to get it in your mind so that you start listening and looking for him. You start listening and looking for him. Because if we're not listening and looking, there's a good chance we're going to miss it. Because you got 10,000 advertisements coming at you a day. Your phone's buzzing right now. You're thinking about an email. You're thinking about tomorrow. You got work. You got to close the deal this week. Like, think about how fast paced that life is for most people. We got practices. We've got jobs. We've got careers. We got family. We've got so much going. And then not only that, we've got a lot of companies with a lot of resources doing everything they can to keep your attention 24/7. It's mind-boggling how much people, and I'm guilty of it. Stay like sitting on a phone, right? And I think God could speak through a phone. I mean, the Magi, they were looking for, you know, they were studying the stars and found Jesus. But how much of that has become such a distraction that if God was just yelling at us, we are not really paying attention. I got to put it down every now and then, the phone. I know, like, you know, it's taken up too much time. It's taken up too much, you know. And where I'm going with this is it. I think we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. And the more that we listen and look for God, the more we're going to find him. I had this Toyota Tacoma for, Lord, I think I had it 14 years. I put 220,000 miles on it. Loved this truck. And I knew, when I hit that, and I bought it with just a few miles on it. And so I kept it a long time. It was a great truck. And I kept having to fix it. Stuff was breaking on it. The roof started leaking, you know, so like it rained, it would just drip right through. And I thought, okay, it's time for me to get a new truck. And so I started looking at Toyota Tundras. This was last year, so I started looking through different Tundras, started researching them, see what the prices were, and I ended up finding one in Mississippi. They're way cheaper for some reason in Mississippi. I don't know why, but when I started looking for Tundras, and I like just looking on my phone, it's crazy. I felt like I couldn't leave the house and not see a Tundra. You ever done that before? You start looking for a car or a Jeep or whatever, or a Cybertruck, or, you know, I don't know. Like, or you start looking for some certain vehicle, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, one out of five people have one, and you just totally didn't see it. And our brains have this thing called a reticular activating system, a RAS. And so much of what happens in our world, we don't even see it. We don't notice it because it's just not even here. We're not looking for it. But I'll never forget the moment I started looking at Tundras. Every day. And then I'd be driving. Oh, there's a Tundra. Oh, there's a Tundra. There's a Tundra. Hey, look, there's a Tundra. Like, you know, they're just all over the place. And I think listening and looking for God works the same way. Sometimes we just rush through life so fast, we just kind of stop listening and we stop looking. But it doesn't mean God is still not speaking. He that has an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, "You're my hiding place," speaking of God. "You will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me with songs of deliverance." Do you hear? Let me read that again. "You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance." Does that say that God is singing songs of deliverance around us? And maybe it's in frequencies that we can't hear with this ear, our physical ear, that there's things happening in our world and in our lives that it takes us to slowing down and getting quiet and maybe doing something different in order to hear and perceive what God is doing. God is speaking to you. He wants to talk to you. And I don't think he needs to go through me or a person or a priest or a pope. He doesn't need to. Because the writer of Hebrews told us that God has spoke all throughout history, but now he speaks through his son. And Jesus has given every person in this room an open invitation. Everyone. He says, "I'm standing at your door, standing at the door, I'm knocking. When you're going through hard times, I'm there. When you feel like everything's gone, you know, wrong in your life, he's there. On the mountaintop, he's there." It's this nearness of God. I mean, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of where we are in our lives and in history, is that we can go straight to the source because of the Son. And I'm going to give you this last point, and I, you know, this has helped me out. And I feel like that hopefully it'll help you. But one of the barriers for me, I believe, in hearing from God is just noise. I mean, just noise. Call it whatever kind of noise you want to call it, right? National security, they call it chatter. They're always looking at the chatter, what's being said, what's being done. But we live in a world that's really loud right now. There's not many quiet places left, period. And if you have children in here, can you say a big amen? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we have a dog and a child. So it's like, you know, but what I mean by quietness is I'm not just physical quietness and getting quiet, but quieting down your soul. Quieting down your spirit. That impressions from God are the clearest when I am the quietest. And so how good are you at being still? How comfortable are you just being quiet and still with nothing going on? No tea. I mean, I'm just going to confess to you. I fall asleep with the TV going. That's just the way that I was raised. I don't know. I grew up like TV. I just needed noise. It's helpful for me. I watch Everybody Loves Raymond every night. And I fall asleep with that going on. And I've been doing that for like, I don't know, 18 years. But when I need to hear from God, like when I really know, when something is going on in my life, and we shouldn't just reserve it for that, But when I have a decision I need to make, and should I close this deal with this person? Should I partner with this person? Should I marry this person? Should I start this company? Should I leave this bit, you know, this job? Like these big decisions we have, I can't do that anymore without getting alone and getting quiet and listening. And God has been faithful every time. I love this verse. This is the last verse, and then we'll pray. Be still. Be still. My son, when I really want to say something important to him, I get down and I get right next to him as close as I can. I'm like, hang on, be still. I need you to hear this. Because he won't hear it if I don't. Be still and know. And I think a lot of times in our life, we don't know what God wants us to know because we're not being still. We're not getting quiet. Even church sometimes can be like, you know, there's a lot going on. And I think solitude and silence and quietness is a critical part of us growing. And it's uncomfortable. You know, they have silent chambers, like a few in the United States. And I've never been in one, but they say when you go into one, all you can hear is your heart beating and the blood flowing through your body. Like it's... Apparently, if you really want to drive somebody crazy, put them in a silent chamber, right? But it's in those moments, because I think as human beings, we're almost addicted to the noise. We need it. We've come so used to it. And God is speaking on a frequency that we hear when we get still. To be still, it means to sink down, abandon, be quiet, to cut things loose in your life. Just let it go. So that's what I just want us to do right now together. If you just bow your head, and we're just going to get quiet for a moment. So God, we just thank you for your voice. We thank you that you're in the stillness. Help us to find peace this week in stillness. God, help us to make space for that in our lives. Help us, Lord, to look for you in the busyness of life. Lead us to the garden. God, lead us to the shore. Lead us to those places where we can hear from you the clearest. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.